Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mini Crush podcast. Movie Crush Light. Movie Crush Heavy.
I like that, though. You said it as though it were its own thing. It's the Mini Crush podcast.
You know, Noel, we're approaching episode 100.
Of the Mini Crush podcast.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It'll be in January.
Oh, man. What are we going to do? We're going to have some cake? Wear party hats?
I don't know. What should we do?
Drink lemonade?
Should we... What should we do?
I don't know, man.
Something special.
We should do something special. TBD.
TBD.
I did something special last night, Chuck.
Oh, boy. What?
I watched Elf.
Oh, did you really?
I sure did.
What'd you think?
I watched it with my kid, who had also never seen it.
Okay.
And my girlfriend, who was an Elf fan.
An Elf head?
An Elf head.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny and fun?
It made me happy.
Oh, great.
It warmed the cockles of my cold, dead heart.
That is great.
Yeah, it gave me new life. I laughed like a geek. A lot of it. I felt things. I teared up a little bit.
Yeah.
It was just great.
Great, man.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
And I told Courtney about how, you know, the whole joke was in the last time we recorded. It was everyone who, the beloved film, people writing in. And I was just like, nah, means nothing to me. It goes right over my head. And a couple days before that, I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, because you didn't see that one, right?
I hadn't seen that
one
either.
Did you like that?
Loved it.
Really? Okay.
Oh, it was great.
It's hard to tell what a modern gent like yourself might think of a throwback 80s film.
No, it's funny.
All right, great.
I love all the John Hughes movies. He's got a thing that I like.
It's wonderful. I bet your daughter loved Elf.
She loved Elf.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the thing about Planes, Trains that I thought was really interesting is it's basically a PG-13 movie until he says, I want a fucking car.
Yeah.
And I want it right fucking now.
Oh, yeah. It would have totally been maybe even PG.
That part is played for shocks, and it really works. Yeah. It delivers, man.
It stands up.
Yeah.
For
love
sure.
That. Love that movie.
My finger has a heartbeat. You know what line Emily and I always say from Elf is when the great scene with Peter Dinklage in The Office, you know, say Elf one more time,
right.
That whole thing.
You're it's an angry Elf.
He jumps upon the table and starts to charge him. Will Ferrell throws his arms out and goes, look at you. So Emily and I do that a lot. Look at you.
Oh, it's great. I loved it.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So by the way, everyone, I haven't been plugging this. I'm the worst at plugging stuff, but... I'm going to be at SF Sketchfest again this year for a Sunday night. When is this thing anyway? Let me look here.
That would be
January
19th. 19th, yeah.
For a Sunday night show. And I think what I'm going to do this year is instead of interviewing one person on stage about a movie, I'm going to get everyone involved. I'm going to get a couple of people, I think. And the asks are out to Janet Varney on these people. And instead of interviewing about a movie, we're going to do some just fun stuff. We're going to get the crowd involved. We're going to do some live haikus.
Mm.
See if I can get – I wish I knew who it was, but I'm sure whoever it is, they're going to be game.
That sounds fun, Chuck.
It's going to be wonderful. So please, because this is going to be a different kind of show, I really need an audience. Because to do something like this with, like, 12 people, it's just
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, no, that is sad. I'm going to be in L.A. With my kid, actually. I'm bringing her to the iHeart Podcast Awards
as
my plus one.
Woo-hoo.
And then going to see Billie Eilish the next night.
Oh, fantastic.
And then the
did
next—
did you get hooked up through iHeart?
Did
they take care of you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. But then the next night, I just found out a buddy of mine in L.A. who I work with who's got the hookup is taking us to the Magic Castle.
Oh, dude.
For brunch and two shows on
get
Sunday.
Ready for a very fun experience.
I'm so excited.
The Magic Castle is wonderful.
I am so excited. I've been wanting to go for years.
And it's a very special insider thing. Like, you can't just go.
Right.
You got to get invited by a member.
Yeah, exactly.
Or get hooked up somehow.
Yeah, and this guy knows somebody from, I think he had a magician at his son's bar mitzvah and hit it off and gave him a nice tip or something
sure,
and got the connect for life. So
it's pretty great.
I am
man.
Beyond pumped. And,
it is indeed a magical place.
Eden is too.
I'm not even magic guy. Here's my advice too, Noel. They're the big shows, quote unquote, big meaning like their big room.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like 40 or 50 people, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. It's not huge. But my advice, too, is to go into the little parlor rooms mm-hmm. for these really intimate close-up
right.
sleight of hand shows.
That's what I'm pumped about.
That's where you're going to get some really great card tricks, some good old school non-illusion type magic.
Some disappearings of, like, coins
sure.
and things like that.
You want
that.
A coin pulled out of your ear?
Yes, yeah, boy, do I ever.
Get thee to a parlor room.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited.
So you got anything else you want to plug since we're plugging holes?
No, listen to Murder in Oregon if you want to check out a cool noir kind of like, you know, a non-depressing true crime story yeah. that actually has like kind of a cool arc and is more about justice and doing the right thing and corruption than it is about just misery.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Fantastic.
I've been working on it for a long time and we're about halfway through the season. So check that out and leave us a nice review.
You know what also we need to plug is Finding Fred.
Mm.
That is from our colleagues here. Who actually ended, was Dylan on that?
Not on that one. No, it's I think it's mainly the New York crew, but it's Fatherly
okay.
is the partnership with who also did, I believe, what is it, Family Secrets? Does that have
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Mangash, who is our kind of chief of content over there in the New York offices, that was on his slate.
Yeah, Finding Fred about Fred Rogers.
Yeah.
It's a great companion piece to the films and the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested in Mr. Rogers, it's a great listen.
Been neck and neck with them on the charts, Murder in Oregon and Finding Fred.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you duking it
We've
out?
Been flipping back and forth for a couple of weeks now.
Sometimes I'll go to the TV and film ratings
yeah.
and check that out to see if Movie Crush is charting. And we're pretty consistently like top 50.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always forget. Like, I mean, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in like the top of all podcasts when you think about there are 700,000
yeah.
podcasts. But it's nice to really look at the little individual categories.
Sure.
Because we're always in really good company. There's so much cool
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And Finding
out there.
Fred, I think, is the number one TV and film podcast
yep,
right now.
Exactly.
It's great. I'm very, very happy to be in the top 50, Noel.
Same, dude.
Top 50 is great of anything.
Oh, 100%.
If you're in the top 50 of anything. Unless it's top 50 dickheads.
Yeah, worst human garbage fire people. Yep.
All right, we're going to go with some non-Christmas stuff, quite honestly, because I screwed up the calendar and thought that the episode that just published was going to publish on the 16th. And so it turns out we have a hole right in the middle of the calendar.
Mm.
I'm like, man, we're not going to overload the Christmas content. We did two great Christmas episodes. So we're going to veer off course here and do a bit of a Movie Crusher special.
Love it.
And it starts off, Noel, have you seen The Irishman yet?
Yes.
Well, let's talk about it for a minute. I put a poll because it turns out it's a very divisive movie.
I can see why.
Did you see the poll?
No, I didn't see the poll.
379 votes. And it's hard to, you know, as we all know, design a binary poll for something like film criticism. Because it is
a lot of nuance.
Gray,
yes.
Not black and white.
No.
But overall, I said, how do you feel about the movie? Disappointed, missed the mark, or satisfied right on target? That's the fairest way I could do it.
Agreed.
And it is pretty evenly split. 55% were satisfied and felt it was right on target. 45% were disappointed and felt it missed the mark.
Right on target for what? A Scorsese picture?
Yeah, I mean, just whatever. Your expectations,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
made
yeah.
a really good movie.
Got it.
I'm trying to, like, back away on the superlatives for these polls and just make
oh,
it,
yeah. No,
like,
that's great.
Were you satisfied or not? So what are you? What's your deal?
I thought it was a Scorsese movie. I thought it reminded me very much of Casino.
Okay.
You know, just in terms of the ensemble cast mm-hmm. and in terms of the use of voice. So, shit, man, it reminded me a lot of Goodfellas. I mean, it's like,
okay.
here's a beef that I have with Scorsese, and it's just because he talks shit. He was saying how Marvel movies are not cinema,
mm-hmm.
how Marvel movies are like some sort of lesser
it's like a playground
being,
or something, or
right.
amusement park.
But, like, Homeboy's been making the same gangster picture for, like, a long time, you know, especially – see, like, I would argue that Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, those are different. But once he started getting into the Goodfellas thing with the big 70s mm-hmm. pastiche soundtrack
yeah.
and the voiceover and the stylized freeze frames and all that stuff, he started, like, really leaning into that
okay.
That vibe. And to me, that's the – Guardians of the Galaxy would not exist if it weren't for the Scorsese,
right.
you know, montage kind of vibe and
sure.
the soundtrack. So I just think – I don't understand what he's complaining about. It seems like an okay boomer moment. Where he's like, oh, these movies are making all this money. No one's financing my movies anymore. I'm bitter.
Right.
That's, but
oh,
that being said, well, yeah, but I think he would have preferred for it to have been a giant tentpole wide release.
Right.
Instead, they released it for a couple of months in limited theaters and then a Netflix thing. I think that was largely probably because he couldn't get the money he wanted from big studios.
Well, probably. So beef aside.
It was great.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right.
It's a good movie. I mean, like, it's great performances.
I had a lot of problems with it.
Well, the CGI threw me for a damn sure. It was Uncanny Valley as hell, and I started to finally start to forget about it, but it really took me out of it for a little while.
All right, so here's my deal. And I finally figured it out last night because it was bothering me how much I did not really like it that or connect with it that much. Let me say it better that way.
Yeah.
Did not connect with it. It did not draw me in. It did not – there was something off about it that I couldn't pinpoint. And it was the CGI for me. And not just like, oh, it didn't look good. Like that was what the disconnect was for me. It broke my brain.
Yeah.
Because I know how old these guys are. We have spent a lifetime watching these people age throughout film history.
Right.
And I think very much for me, that was the disconnect. That's why I couldn't connect with these characters, because it wasn't real. It was a trick. Because you know what I liked? The last hour.
Right.
When
they're
aged
all
into
old
reality.
And grizzled, yeah.
And that's when it finally clicked. I was like, wait a minute. That was the difference. There are these sort of plasticky looking faces pasted on clearly old men still moving around like old men.
I just don't get how they couldn't make it look better.
I mean, it looked okay.
It didn't look great though, Chuck. It looked like a cutscene in a video game.
Some of it looked better than others for sure. Some parts looked really bad.
Yeah.
But to me, like, it just
And what did it accomplish?
I wanted Scorsese to, like, it was a stunt to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I want him to be better than that.
Right.
Scorsese, to me, isn't the guy that pulls a cinematic stunt.
Right.
He should have just cast younger actors, like we've always done in films.
Right.
To play the younger versions. And it would have been much, much better to me.
Especially since what he's doing. I was talking to a filmmaker friend of mine who lived in L.A. right around the same time you did about how he found this to be – he found comfort in the fact that this is a style of filmmaking that is probably going to go away eventually. This kind of classic, you know, whatever the pace of this movie was, the way he made it, the way he told the story, the ensemble cast, the bigness of it all, that's sort of not long for this world, that kind of filmmaking. It's a very like
– maybe.
Well, that's his position.
Sure.
And it's ironic for that to be his position and it also to be really trying hard to like – make use of all this modern stuff.
Yeah.
And it just felt like out
of
place.
Of yeah.
And it was a disconnect. And then you hear him talking trash about Marvel movies and you're like, I don't think you know what you're talking about. You know?
When you go in there and use a CGI stunt, essentially. I mean, this is my take on it. And that's, I think a lot of people felt a disconnect for that reason. But I'm speaking out of my ass there. I know it did that for me.
No, I said the same thing. And when I say I liked the movie, that was when I could shove that aside and just judge it on like, yeah, it's a fun movie. It also had some melancholy tones about aging and, you know, being a remnant of a bygone era and no longer being relevant and
the
things
third
like that.
Worked for me.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I also thought it was just far too long.
It was.
I mean, you got to keep an audience in mind, and you don't need a 3.5-hour movie to tell that story.
Not to mention, I'm sorry I keep harping on the Scorsese old man stuff, but he was also complaining about, like, you're not meant to watch it. It's not a TV series. You got to watch it in one sitting. It's like, Scorsese, don't put it on Netflix then. You know, like, people are going to watch it the way they're going to watch it.
Yeah, they're going to watch it while they're eating dinner.
And don't complain
or
about
working
it.
Working on a spreadsheet.
Don't insult people for consuming stuff the way that is convenient and makes sense for them. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of purist mentality is sort of bullshit to me.
This might have been better if it was an hour longer and divided into five parts.
I agree.
I was disappointed.
There are all these memes of people that are like giving you time codes of like if you want to watch it like a series.
I've heard about that.
Watch part one is from here to here, two is here to here, et cetera.
Just imagine a fade to black.
That's right. And then Scorsese responded to that saying, no, that's not what I want. That's not how I want you to watch it.
Sorry.
It's not up to you anymore, dude.
It's not.
You know? Like,
I know, man. I'm with you. Because it bothered me, because I love Scorsese, and I was like, why didn't I love this movie? And I really had to look within.
I liked Ray Romano. He was fun as the lawyer.
He was
nice,
good,
it's nice to see
him. A little underdeveloped, I feel like.
That's true.
Harvey Keitel, like.
Would have loved more Keitel, that's true.
Oh, man. I had a lot of problems with
it. It's hard, though, when there's that many characters. But then that argument kind of gets flipped when you're like, you had fucking 4 hours to do it.
Right.
You know, you could have given a little more attention to some of these second-tier characters.
I think Goodfellas and Casino did far more story-wise in less time.
I agree.
All right. Some of the acting was great. It looked great. You know, it's not like I hated it.
No. But I liked it. I stand by. If I had to give it thumbs, I would probably give it.
Yeah, how many thumbs out of 5?
I would give it 3.5 thumbs.
I would give it 2 thumbs.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to jump over to the Crushers page, and a gentleman named David Wilder posed a very good question that we're going to talk about here. What video game would you like to see made into a movie? Very simple. You're a gamer.
Hmm?
What's your take?
Fallout.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, the Fallout games would be great as a series of movies.
So, okay, in each town?
Sure.
Okay.
Whatever. They all have really good stories.
Yeah.
The writing is really good in those games.
The only one I played was 4.
4 was great.
In Boston.
Yeah. Boston was cool. Even the little DLCs, the little extras or whatever,
mm-hmm.
great writing, great stories, really cool sci-fi, fun. There's funny characters.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. You wouldn't even have to, like, so often they shoehorn video games into movies. This one, it's like, it's there for you. It's right for the picking.
Yeah.
The Last of Us as well, which I'm pretty sure is already a thing.
I don't know the current status. I know that they were trying for sure to make it. You know, that's my jam. That's my game.
It's a great game.
And it is. It's like playing a movie.
Yeah.
So and it's all right
the new
there.
One's coming out soon, I believe.
February.
Yeah.
So here's my conundrum, Noel. Last of Us 2 comes out in February. PS5 comes out in November.
Ooh.
I hear it's backwards compatible because I asked on the page and people are like, just get it and you'll be able to play it on your PS5.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, do I even need a PS5?
I usually wait. I usually wait until there's a title that I really, really need that's exclusive to the new machine. That's what I did for 4. I didn't get a 4 for years. It wasn't until literally Fallout 4 that I decided to finally get one. And you wait until the next Christmas, and then there's like packages, you know,
right,
that are a lot cheaper, and they come with games, you know.
That's true.
When you get it on day one, it's expensive, and it's like, why? There's the launch titles are never that exciting.
All right. Good advice. So we're going to go with James G. Woodbeck. He says Half-Life. Ever played it?
I know of it, and I agree. There's a lot of fun mythology there. It would probably make a good one.
Baldemar Rodriguez Jr. says Space Invaders. He says, hold on a sec. Think about it. A nice 80s period piece with the right vision in the right direction. I think it could work.
What is there to Space Invaders other than little ships on a grid?
Well, they've done more with less.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah.
Did you see the Adam Sandler thing?
Pixel?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't either. It was supposed to be terrible.
It looked real dumb.
But really good concept.
Like, yeah.
It seems like they really screwed up at what could have been a good idea.
Well, it was kind of like Wreck-It Ralph.
Was it?
A little bit, I think.
I haven't seen
it was about like, I don't know, maybe it's not. It just felt like it was like there was that crossover between like, oh, video game characters are actually real and they inhabit this other world and now they're invading our world. And I don't know. That's sort of how it struck me.
All right. I haven't heard of this game, but Ian Lyons, one of our old friends, says Bubble Bobble.
That's like an old Neo Geo game.
I don't even
like
know what that
little
means.
Neo Geo was like a
you know all this shit, Noel.
I think Neo Geo was a home system, but I think of it as being an arcade system. Like that was – you'd always have a Neo Geo – they call it cabinets, you know, the arcade cabinets or whatever.
Right.
And it would have Samurai Showdown, Bubble Bobble, and then like 2 other titles.
Paperboy?
No, that was its own thing. Okay. Neo Geo was a Japanese kind of flash-in-the-pan system, sort of, I believe. But
all right.
Bubble Bobble is a cool game.
Mary Lux says Myst.
Yeah, it's sort of like Lost.
Old pal Zach Pointer says Zelda. Ever played Zelda?
Why hasn't that happened? Interesting. It'd be such a good fantasy movie.
Yeah. I said Last of Us on the page, and then there were some folks casting it. Our old pal Mike Burdett says Josh Brolin and Ellen Page, which I get Brolin for sure, and I get Ellen Page because she looks like Ellie, but Ellie was 14.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you got to cast a kid.
Yeah.
You can't cast someone in their mid-30s.
I think she's aged out of that one at this point.
He also suggested Saoirse Ronan, And same thing, just too old.
Yep.
Got to get a kid in there.
It'd have to be like a unknown, like a new, like a...
I think so.
Like a introducing.
Yeah, because I can't think of any 14-year-old actors.
No, and the ones we're thinking of them 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I mean?
Ellen Page would have been great.
Yeah, like in like, what is it, Juno era, or earlier sure. than that even.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Juno, she could have played 14 or 15 probably. Mike Burdett, same old pal, says the correct answer is BioShock.
Yeah, wonderful. Did you play that?
No.
It's cool. It's like a steampunk kind of dystopian future past kind of thing. It's based on, like, inspired by Atlas Shrugged.
Wait,
by Ayn Rand.
Was there, like, circusy stuff?
That was in the yes, yes.
I might have played BioShock, actually.
Yeah, there are people in creepy rabbit masks, like, wandering around with, like butcher knives. And there are these big kind of mech creatures, and they're these little creepy girls that look like the Shining twins. They have like no eyes, and they have like all these powers and stuff. It's a wonderful, wonderful game. There's two of them, and they're both really smart.
All right,
really great games. Those would be fantastic movies.
Well, you know my deal. I've said it before. I usually will get a game and obsess about it for about 4 months.
Yep,
and then I won't play again for 2 years.
Dude, same.
I don't have the time. You know, you just can't do it anymore.
I never even finished Red Dead Redemption 2, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's the one on my list that I need to get. Daniel Jordan says Portal could be interesting if done properly.
Mm-hmm.
So you've played all these, huh?
I have.
Matt Blumenfeld says Banjo...
Kazooie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's an older game. Yeah. He's like a... What is he? A wallaby or something? I don't remember. I don't know much about it.
That's like, Crash Bandicoot, isn't it?
They're similar. No, Banjo Kazooie is a bear.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Yeah, Crash Bandicoot. They're very similar and around the same time, easy to confuse for each other.
All right. How do you pronounce this? Dianim Weidner. Interesting name. It says Kingdom Hearts. Never heard of it.
Yeah, that's one of those like a Disney mashup game where it's got all the Disney characters, has a lot of like Final Fantasy, like Sony characters, and it's like a big role-playing RPG kind of like sweeping epic fantasy game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Diana Ratliff says BioShock. Had a theatrical feel. Jessica Worley says Red Dead. Let me see here. What else? Duck Hunt from Christopher Steiner. Come on. That's the worst.
That's bad.
Ben Cleaver mentions something called God of War.
Yeah.
It's good.
Kratos, yeah. God of War is great.
He says, you got to get the right cast. Just don't use The Rock.
Yeah.
Give someone else a chance,
he says. Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I know a friend who just worked with The Rock.
I know who'd be good. Who's that big burly guy that's in – he's been in a lot of stupid comedies lately, like Stuber.
Uh-huh.
And he was the guy in Guardians of the Galaxy with the knives who has the funny comic relief lines, but he's
like, oh, yeah, the big, huge guy.
Dave Bautista.
Yeah,
He'd be a good Kratos. Yeah.
It's interesting. He's in a new comedy, and he looks weird as a human.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm so used
his
to
his proportions are all
bald and green.
Weird, yeah.
When he has that little, like, G.I. Joe scrubby hair.
Yep.
It's odd looking to me.
A little strange.
Keith Edwards says there's an old Sega Genesis game called Eternal Champions.
Don't know that one.
I've always thought it would make an awesome movie. The premise of the game is all of these fighters from all of history are plucked right before their death to fight against each other.
I do remember this.
Sounds interesting.
It's a fighting game. You get to be like, you know, Zeus or like Cleopatra and stuff.
Oh,
yeah, I do remember that game.
John Richard says Uncharted.
Uncharted.
Uncharted?
Yeah.
What did I say? Uncharted?
Uncharted. Yeah. That's sort of an Indiana Jones type swashbuckling adventure.
And he's also Nathan Fillion.
Yep.
Would be the guy.
He would be great.
I think I remember seeing that. He kind of looks like Nathan Fillion.
He does. You got to wonder sometimes, like, do they model these after actors and don't ask permission?
I don't know.
And what's the IP situation
yeah.
there?
Like, I imagine you can't veer too close because you could probably bring a case against it.
Yeah.
But I imagine they dance around that line,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's a great question. Thank you, David Wilder, for that. We're going to move on to Julia Lurch from the Crushers page. She posed a great one. What movies would you like to see adapted into a TV series? Kind of like Fargo has done.
Oh, yeah.
To great success.
Yeah.
Among others. And Emily McGuire says Harry Potter series.
Oh, sure.
Just do it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something that's, I mean, you know, it's money, I guess.
They're
going to do it.
You think?
Well, yeah. I mean,
at some point.
I would think.
Too much money at stake, you're right.
Who owns Harry Potter? That's Warner. That's the big property, one of the big properties that Warner owns.
Is it?
I believe so, because it's all in the – no, it's Universal. Excuse me. It's not Warner at all. It's Universal.
Okay.
Because it's in Universal Studios. It's the big Harry Potter world and the rides and stuff. Yeah.
Sarah Hoffman says Indiana Jones. They could just revive young Indiana Jones.
That was a fun show.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
I really enjoyed that.
That was good. Yvonne Baudet says Cloverfield or Unbreakable. Yeah, I'd see a Cloverfield show.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed a lot of what they've done with that franchise.
I always thought it was a really clever...
Not all of it, but...
Yeah. I mean, what did you not enjoy? Like parts of...
I think the first movie, I didn't like parts of it, but overall I liked it. What I did like was that other one,
Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
John Goodman playing a baddie.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
Same.
But there's more there. I think they're going to do another movie, right?
Well, because that one, I don't know, it doesn't matter. Like, that movie largely has nothing to do with what's going on in the Cloverfield universe. It's more of just like a bottle movie about, like, worrying about what's going on outside. Mm. Is it really happening? Is it not really happening, et cetera?
Right.
And then there ends up being a connection to the events of the first Cloverfield movie.
Yeah, I like how they tied that together.
Yep.
Old friend Minal Data says, Interstellar, a limited series where they go to a different planet each episode.
Why not?
Fair enough. Why not? Tom Villian says, Clan of the Cave Bear.
Not familiar.
That is a movie from the, I don't think it was 90s. I feel like it was 80s with Daryl Hannah starred. And it was, I think prehistoric wandering clans.
Huh. Interesting.
Cave bears.
Cave bears? Okay. Go ahead.
Patrick Gorman says Midsommar. They already made it into a 12-hour TV series. He just put it in a movie theater. Zing. You know, John Hodgman says that was his favorite movie of the year.
I know. We talked about that.
I respect his opinion, too. So maybe we missed something, Noel.
A buddy of mine, I went home for the holidays, and a buddy of mine says he was talking about my work stuff, and he was like, Hodgman really likes The Avengers, that's his favorite movie of all time? Like, that's crazy. I'm like, he stands by it.
It's not his favorite, but he just likes to talk about it.
He really enjoys it, though, the whole franchise. Oh, he speaks of it with such reverence, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not – I mean, I'd like to see him take Scorsese to task.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
I think he could absolutely defend his position very eloquently, yeah.
Ultra Nick Kelly says Rogue One would have been a really good TV series.
Mm-hmm.
I think now that we're seeing Mandalorian play out, we see the possibilities.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Tony Hernandez says World War Z.
That's one of the zombie things, right?
Yeah. And from what I've seen of the book, it probably would have been a better series if they had stuck with the book.
Because
they changed it a lot.
They went off the rails for the movie, huh?
I think so. Did you not see it?
I didn't see it.
Not great.
I think it's so interesting, just really quickly, that like Jon Favreau's career has been so varied.
Yeah.
Like he went from doing like a kind of a schlocky indie film like Swingers to doing Elf. By the way, I rented Elf on Amazon, and at the end it had all this behind the scenes stuff.
Oh,
I
yeah.
learned more about the jobs of every department in a movie crew than I ever have anywhere else. It was so in-depth. It went into like every single position and then through production, through post, through soundscaping and foleying and looping and all that stuff.
Oh, cool.
It was probably about an hour of like behind the scenes stuff.
Oh, I gotta check that
out.
It
was so good.
Because I bought it on iTunes, so I'm sure that's all in there.
It was so good. It showed how they built all the sets. And
wasn't that cool? All the forced perspective and
they showed all that.
They showed
how they did all those tricks, how they replaced them with little kids for the shots. They had like a scale version of the set that they called it the buddy-sized one and the elf-sized one. So they had doubles of every prop where it was like a big Etch-a-Sketch and then a little, little Etch-a-Sketch. It was so cool to see how much organization just innovation goes into doing all those in-camera effects. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's tough to make a new classic Christmas film, and I think they succeeded on all levels.
100%.
I also love the part it gets me every time when that fucking cab hits him.
Yeah. It's just great pratfalls. He's a great physical comedy. Yeah.
Oh, man. I love it.
Me too.
I love that he turned down a sequel, too. Good for you, Will Ferrell.
It makes perfect sense. Let it be its own thing.
Yep. Let me see. We'll finish up here with our old friend with a switched out name, Culver Matthew, says a Lord of the Rings adaptation that sticks to the books and dialogue would be great.
They're doing that. I'm pretty sure there's something like that in the works.
Oh, really?
For some kind of Lord of the Rings series. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, John Richard comments, time will tell, but the Amazon series purportedly fits your description.
Right.
And then Culver Matthew said he just checked and he thinks it's a prequel. All right. We'll have to see what that's all about.
Yeah. Time will indeed tell.
All right, Noel, we're going to finish up with a little streaming of this. What have you been watching lately?
Watchmen, my boy.
Well, that's what's on my list.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm almost – is it only eight?
It's eight total.
All right. So I just finished episode 7 last night, so I'm almost done.
I think it's great.
It is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed at how they've it was a smart plan to begin with. And I liked it early on, but once they started bringing in the canon,
mm-hmm.
it really got interesting.
Were you a fan of the graphic
yes.
novel?
Yes, yeah. And I'm not a graphic novel guy, but I did read that.
That's
one.
That's the one everyone says, I'm not a graphic novel guy, but Watchmen is incredible. There is a really cool companion podcast that I recommend everyone check out if you're into the show. It's just called The Official Watchmen Podcast.
Uh-huh.
And it's with Craig Mazin, who is the creator of Chernobyl, which also had a companion podcast that was hosted by Peter Sagal interviewing Craig Mazin about Chernobyl. And this one, it's Craig Mazin interviewing Damon Lindelof about Watchmen, and it's only 3 episodes total. First episode handles episodes 1 through 3, second 3 through 6, third 6 through 9. There's 9 episodes, I believe. But he talks about how he was offered the project several times, turned it down. He revered the source material so much he didn't want to fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right around the time of that Zack Snyder movie, which is divisive. I did not care for it.
I mean, I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't love it,
right.
But I don't think they like destroyed it or anything.
No, it was very respectful of the source material, but almost to me it was almost like too respectful. It was kind of a little bit like, why bother, kind of, you know?
Oh, interesting.
With this one, he was like, I'm only going to do it if I can check these boxes for like making a new thing that still holds true to what I loved about the original Watchmen.
Right.
And that's what he's done.
I think so.
I think that's really what he's done.
I mean, even before they started bringing in the old characters, tonally it felt very Watchmen.
Yep.
And if it would have just stuck with that, I would have been fine with all new storylines.
Mm-hmm.
But when they started bringing back some of these older characters, mm-hmm. like when Jean Smart shows up as Silk Spectre,
right.
I was just like, oh boy, this mm-hmm. is where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, man, I mean, I love I told you we both have a bunch of friends that have worked on it, and I got some more insider scoop. Regina King is fantastic, apparently.
Just a good person.
As a human.
Mm-hmm.
Great to work with. Tim Blake Nelson, great. Jeremy Irons, fantastic. Like, he had a really great experience with
most
of these actors.
You said there was one that was a pill, though.
Yeah, which, you know, I think we already know who that is.
Okay.
But what I mean, I love all the stuff with Regina King and the Calvary Cavalry,
yeah. The seventh
Cavalry.
Seventh Cavalry, yeah.
But what has really been getting me going is the Ozymandias stuff.
It's wonderful.
That the one episode, I think it was where they finally launched him into space on a tether.
Yeah.
And he's – and all of the fucking – I can't remember the names of the people he's cloned.
Yeah, it's Crookshanks and whatever the other guy, the guy's name.
Yeah. All of them
– Should we do a spoiler alert for this, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's too late. If we're talking about The Watchmen, people are going to know we're talking about The Watchmen.
You're right. That's true.
But all of them up there, like, dead and frozen.
Ugh.
And then he cracks them up and then spells out, what, save me.
Save me. But then there's another letter that you don't see. It's probably
yes. And then they yank him back. Like, all of that shit is so, like, weird.
Yeah.
In the best way.
The thing that's so cool, too, is I could picture this in comic book form.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a bizarre, weird world
where
the rules don't apply.
Uh-huh.
It's the kind of thing you could just see communicated in comic book form,
mm-hmm.
but it's in TV show to start with. And, you know, Alan Moore is notoriously cranky about any of his shit being adapted into movies.
Does he like this?
He has not said anything about it. His daughter has just spoken out defending his position on being cranky because – basically because like – and I understand this to a degree because like, you know, Vertigo was the comic – the sort of adult weird offshoot of, I want to say, DC.
Uh-huh.
I think that's right. And it's one of these things where – in those days, their writers and artists were essentially indentured servants. They don't own any of their IP.
Yeah.
They make all this shit, and then it just goes out, and they don't. It's gone. They have no control over it anymore.
Yeah.
But that's also what you sign up for, so you kind of got to know they're going to—
So is that why he's cranky?
I think he's cranky. He just feels like his medium is comics. He doesn't feel like it should ever be adapted, but I think that's really short-sighted, because what is a comic if not a perfect storyboard for a goddamn movie? You know?
Scorsese should go bowling.
They really should.
Hash this out.
But I love Alan Moore. Well, to be fair, though, they've done some pretty shitty adaptations of some of his stuff, like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie is garbage.
And that should have been amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, what a cool story.
It's such a cool story, but it was just really not good at all.
Yes,
it didn't capture any of the weirdness and coolness of the comic. So, yeah. But I would argue that if he pulled his head out of his own ass a little bit, he could see the genius in this and recognize that it is being very respectful of his work.
Yeah. Boy, I loved the Looking Glass episode.
Oh, God.
So good.
Yeah. Well, that's when you first realize they're using the squid.
Yeah.
Because that was a thing in the Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
There was no squid.
There was no squid.
There was no squid.
And that was the weird, great, like, the way Watchmen and the graphic novel ended was so bizarre with the squid.
Yeah.
That, like, how could you not take advantage of
that? And now in this version, we get to see the aftermath of the whole thing 30 years later.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, get to hear Jeremy Irons as Ozymandias sort of justify what he did and the fact that he never got, quote unquote, credit for it. So much cool
development. Well, the PTSD that the survivors are suffering.
Oh, yeah. It's like 9/11 times a million. You know, it's like
11/2. Is that what they were calling it?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, man. I'm just blown away. I think it's amazing.
I think it's fantastic, too.
I'm sad that there's only 8 episodes.
It is a bummer, but it's also clearly a very expensive show.
Yeah. It looks great.
I wonder has it been announced if they've picked it up for another season?
Oh, I'm sure.
I hope they do.
I haven't heard, but. I mean, they're already shooting it, so.
It's very critically acclaimed, it seems.
Yeah.
I wonder what the viewing numbers are, though. I wonder if it's like.
I don't know.
I know a lot of people are talking about it that I know, so.
Speaking of viewing numbers, The Irishman, and this is sort of one of the beefs with how to. I mean, I hate that box office is a rating system, but it sort of is, for better or for worse.
Sure. How's it doing?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. They listed out however many millions of people streamed it over the first week, and it was a ton. But then they also said 18% of people finished it.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I don't know. Does that count? Someone watches 2 hours of The Irishman and is like, I can't. Turns it off.
Interesting.
Yeah, 18%. But apparently 18% is sort of right along the standard of when people bail on Netflix, which is surprising.
It is surprising.
18%?
That seems very low.
Seems very low.
Yeah.
All right, Noel. You got anything else?
Streaming? No, I've been loving that one. Mandalorian, we talked about. I'm not up to date on that one, but I think it's still strong.
I'm pretty close. I think I'm one behind.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I just saw the one episode that some people were a little disappointed in.
Was that the village one?
I liked it.
I liked it too, but I heard a buddy of mine who's a huge fan of Star Wars in particular was like, it felt kind of forced, kind of. Like, it felt like one of those – it was too self-contained. Like he feels like it's becoming this adventure of the week kind of show as opposed
to – Well, maybe so.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that.
I think it very much is, and it kind of reminds me of TV shows in the 80s a little
bit.
But with a new, like, spin on it.
Yeah, and it has a through line, you know, with the baby Yoda and the fact that he's being, you know, hunted and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But of course, he's like jumping around the galaxy trying to find refuge. He's going to have new adventures.
That's right.
Know?
Do you know why?
No.
Because bounty hunting is a dangerous
profession. It's a dangerous profession.
All right, everyone. Thanks for sitting in with us. And sorry we're not doing Christmas content exclusively, but I hope you enjoyed this nice break.
Mm-hmm.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.